Excuse me, Ms. Judy Bunzel joins the conference.
Hello?
Excuse me, this is the operator. Just wanted to inform all parties that today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time, and you may begin.
to be more specific, because I'm actually monitoring the room currently and being tuned at the same time. So I might be doing that. Can you be specific? The problem is if I unplug my laptop, I lose all of my monitor and stuff for the I have the recordings going. Verizon Bridge is open with three callers on it, and the recording is the streaming MP3 is also working. Everything is very good. Thanks, Corey, for relaying.
Buenos días. Muy buenos días. Sean muy bienvenidos a la presentación de la comunidad de organizaciones sin fines de lucro para asuntos operacionales, el NPOC o NPOC. Es una comunidad dentro del grupo de intereses no comerciales de ICANN. La idea de esta sesión es explorar cómo las ONGs pueden definir mejor su papel y expresar sus criterios dentro de la NPOC, el Non-For-Profit Operational Concerns Constituency. Primero, vamos a tener una exposición, una breve introducción sobre la historia de NPOC a cargo de Debra Hughes. Debra Hughes, déjeme presentarla brevemente, es la representante principal de la Cruz Roja Internacional. Debra is the Senior Counsel for American Red Cross, a non-profit organization and one of the world's largest humanitarian organizations, providing services to people without discrimination. She's also currently at the board of directors at International Trademark Association, counsel at GNCO Council at ICANN, and IP Council at American Red Cross. She is also a Juris Doctor in Law from Texas Southern University and Bachelor of Arts in Modern Languages and Linguistics from the University of Maryland, Baltimore County. Thank you. Debra.
Gracias. It's my pleasure to welcome you all. This is very exciting. Rather than have a written speech and to read to this very esteemed group of very intelligent people, I thought it might be more interesting if I just shared a story. In 2009, I became very interested in the concept of nonprofit organizations and NGOs being involved in ICANN. As you all know, nonprofit organizations use the internet in very important ways to deliver services, to communicate, to get our volunteers involved and engaged. And there was an opportunity to be involved in ICANN. The ICANN Board of Directors in 2009 appointed me to represent the nonprofit voice within ICANN. The second thing they asked me to do was to encourage other nonprofit organizations to join and participate in ICANN. And so from 2009 until 2010 and 11, I spent a lot of time reaching out to nonprofit organizations, asking them to join and to participate in this dialogue. As you know, the issues of stability of the internet, having a safe and stable, secure environment to raise funds or to deliver services or to communicate is very important. And so it was for that reason that the American Red Cross encouraged me to run and to participate in ICANN, and I was blessed in 2009 to have been selected to represent this very important community and spent the past 2 years growing this constituency. This constituency exists within the non-commercial stakeholders group. It is a new constituency that was just recently created in June of 2011. And I'm pleased to see the growth, and this is exciting. When I think back in 2009, I was in a room by myself. And in 2011, I was pleased to have my friends from GKB and Fundación Omardengo join, and they were just trying to figure out what this whole thing was about. And it's quite exciting here to see in 2012 a room full of NGOs. And we hope that next year it will be overflowing and that we'll need a much bigger room, Alan. See, and that we can really reach out, because these are important issues, and often NGOs are the last to know about these important issues. And we shouldn't be reactive. We should be at the table having a voice, because as we all know, NGOs and nonprofit organizations know how to bring parties together. It's what we do. It's how we serve our communities. We work with commercial interests. We work with governments. We work with universities. We work with all different parts of the community to effectuate our mission. And it is that spirit of collaboration that I think is important for the ICANN community to hear. And I am so pleased to welcome all of you as one of the founders of this great constituency. And thank you so much. The mission of NPOC is there in front of you. I apologize. I'm having a little problems with my vision. I have something's going on with my eye, so I can't really read it. But I thought it would be more important for me to speak to you rather than to read the mission. And I remain available to anyone if you have any questions later. Thank you so much.
Gracias, Deborah. Thank you, Debbie.
Y ahora quisiera presentarles a un grupo distinguido de panelistas que tenemos hoy, que queremos agradecer su presencia. Primero, Gabriel Macaya Trejos es vicepresidente del Comité Ejecutivo de la Estrategia Siglo XXI. También es investigador en el Centro de Investigaciones en Biología Celular y Molecular. Es doctor en Ciencias de la Universidad de París 7, bachiller en Química de la Universidad de Costa Rica. Premio Nacional de Ciencias Clodomiro Picado Twight, catedrática de la Universidad de Costa Rica. También ha sido rector de la Universidad de Costa Rica, vicerrector de investigación de la Universidad de Costa Rica, director del Centro de Investigación en Biología Celular y Molecular, miembro de la Sociedad Costarricense de Bioquímica y Biología Molecular, miembro de la Junta Directiva de la Fundación Omar Dengo, miembro de la Academia de Ciencias, de la Academia Nacional de Ciencias, investigador en el Centro de Investigación en Biología Celular y Molecular, consultor del Proyecto de Estrategia y Ciencia y Tecnología en la Fundación CRUSA. Agradecemos la presencia también de Luis Diego Escalante aquí, de la Fundación CRUSA, y actualmente presidente de la Academia Nacional de Ciencias. Gracias.
Muchas gracias. Es un gusto estar esta mañana con ustedes. Agradezco a los organizadores, Alan, a la Fundación Omar Dengo, a NPOC. Algunos me vieron ayer, los que fueron a la ceremonia inaugural, con un sombrero, el sombrero de presidente de la Academia de Ciencias de Costa Rica, que es el anfitrión de esta reunión de ICANN. Pero hoy estoy más dentro de una óptica diferente, representando a una pequeña iniciativa no gubernamental, non-for-profit, la Estrategia Siglo XXI, que es una iniciativa de planteamiento de una estrategia de desarrollo basada en educación, ciencia y tecnología e innovación para el país desde una perspectiva de muy largo plazo. Y cuando digo largo plazo, 50 años. Es una estrategia, y nosotros siempre hemos estado muy orgullosos de presentarla así, es una estrategia que surge de abajo hacia arriba, bottom up. Valga el momento para reconocer el apoyo que la Fundación CRUSA le ha dado a esta estrategia durante muchos años. No es solo una iniciativa bottom up, es también una iniciativa de muchos socios interesados, multi-stakeholder. Y tercero, es una estrategia de una base de consenso. Y resulta, para nosotros no muy sorprendente, de encontrarnos en los documentos de descripción de ICANN, que ICANN es una iniciativa bottom-up, multi-stakeholder and consensus-driven. ¿Qué significa esto? Siempre he creído que olvidamos muy fácilmente cuál ha sido o a qué se debe el éxito de Internet. ¿Cómo es posible que pasamos de lo que fueron los primeros años de Internet a lo que es Internet ahora? Y yo recuerdo cómo en Costa Rica el establecimiento del primer nodo de Internet surge como surgió Internet, diría yo, que por la necesidad de un investigador, un físico teórico, que necesitaba comunicarse con sus colegas. Y ve en esta tecnología un medio para lograrlo. Y él comienza a desarrollar la plataforma que lleva al establecimiento de Internet en Costa Rica y luego en Centroamérica y varios países del Caribe. Y en ese proceso fue muy importante el apoyo de Saúl Hahn, que nos acompaña por aquí, en su puesto en la OEA, que nos dio los medios para desarrollar esa Internet inicialmente académica, que medios que nos permitieron, y aquí voy a ser un poco violento en mi comentario, hacer un bypass a la compañía telefónica y único proveedor de Internet en el país, el Instituto Costarricense de Electricidad, puesto que las políticas en ese momento de ese instituto no llevaban siquiera a considerar Internet como una alternativa tecnológica de una empresa estatal de telecomunicaciones. Las cosas han cambiado radicalmente. No sé si ustedes están conscientes que esa misma compañía que hace más de 20 años no tuvo una respuesta positiva a las iniciativas académicas de establecer la red, es ahora la que nos apoya masivamente para la conectividad de esta reunión. Y yo creo que es importante recordar entonces ciertos elementos fundamentales de diseño de esta red, que me parece que permiten cierto tipo de analogías o de símiles que nos llevan a hacer planteamientos a la forma de gobernanza de esta misma Internet. Y yo creo, como muchos de los aparatos de construcción social, el diseño debe permear su gobernanza. Especifico un poco más las cosas. El diseño de Internet tiene un elemento central, y es sus protocolos. Y es un elemento técnico, no es un elemento político. Y a partir de ese elemento técnico se construye la política de gobernanza. Es una red redundante, resiliente, de igual jerarquía en sus nodos, con neutralidad, con diversidad, y este todo amarrado por un protocolo técnico. Y tal vez lo más importante, la inteligencia de la red no está en su núcleo central, está en su periferia. Y esa inteligencia está sobre todo muy cerca de los usuarios finales. Y yo creo que esto es central. Y si aceptamos estas características, y yo creo que es muy fácil estar de acuerdo conmigo respecto al diseño de la Internet, tendríamos que aceptar otro tipo de características respecto o características consecuentes con su sistema de gobernanza. Si estamos de acuerdo, entonces, en este sistema de gobernanza, la periferia debe ser una consideración fundamental. Y allí es a donde los stakeholders de la periferia se vuelven centrales, valga el comentario y el juego de palabras. Y yo creo que frente a esta exigencia de los elementos de gobernanza de la red, tenemos que plantear algo muy delicado, y es cómo se ejerce el liderazgo. Finalmente, necesitamos en ese proceso difuso un liderazgo. Pero ese liderazgo tiene que tener una característica fundamental desde mi punto de vista, y que tal vez no todos van a compartir. Es un liderazgo transductor. Un transductor es un mecanismo, instrumento, proceso o protocolo que convierte señales en acciones. Yo creo que el liderazgo de la red tiene que ser un liderazgo de transducción, un liderazgo que reciba esas señales desde la periferia y monte un proceso bottom up, consensus driven y multi-stakeholder que permita responder a las señales de esa periferia y haga la red desarrollarse. Esos eran mis comentarios introductorios. Espero no haber tomado más de 7 minutos.
Perfecto el tiempo y muy visionaria exposición. Seguimos con Clotilde Fonseca. Clotilde Fonseca es directora ejecutiva del Consejo de la Promoción de la Competitividad, exministra de Ciencia y Tecnología, exdirectora de la Fundación Omar Dengo por más de 20 años y, adicionalmente, entre otras cosas, fue miembro asesor del Instituto de Conectividad de las Américas. Muchas gracias.
Welcome, everyone. I'll be speaking in Spanish to carry on with what has been established. Hola a todos. Voy a hablar en español, pero saludo a los colegas de otros países y otras culturas. En primer lugar, quisiera felicitar a ICANN por la apertura de este espacio para que tenga un lugar preponderante las organizaciones sin fines de lucro, que en mi opinión tienen hoy un rol esencial en el desarrollo contemporáneo. No es casual que los estudiosos del desarrollo actual hablen del sector de las organizaciones sin fines de lucro como el tercer sector en contraposición al sector privado y al sector público. Se considera hoy un agente fundamental de desarrollo. Por esa razón, pienso que cuando hablamos de Internet y hablamos de ICANN y hablamos de las organizaciones sin fines de lucro dentro de ICANN, tenemos que preguntarnos algo que para todos sin duda es obvio, y es ¿Internet para qué? ¿Por qué es importante que todas estas normativas, formas de trabajo, búsqueda de consensos existan? Sin duda, estamos ante una plataforma tecnológica que tiene que ser gestionada y administrada. Sin embargo, para los que estamos en el ámbito del desarrollo, también Internet y esta plataforma es un elemento fundamental del desarrollo del potencial humano. Ha habido inclusive pensadores, filósofos a mediados del siglo XX que hablaron premonitoriamente de la creación de algo que llamaron la noosfera, es decir, la esfera de conocimiento alrededor del planeta que aglutina todos los conocimientos que existen en el planeta. Este es un tema sin duda tecnológico, pero es un tema fundamentalmente de redes tecnológicas asociadas a redes humanas que tienen un objetivo y tienen que tenerlo. No podemos simplemente actuar en el vacío como si el tema tecnológico fuera el único, y tienen que estar asociadas a la generación de prosperidad por vía de la equidad y del desarrollo económico, y también a la generación de comunidades que comparten, generan innovación, generan posibilidades, pero también que le ayudan a la gente y a los seres humanos a adquirir sentido. Creo que la estructuración de ICANN ha sido extraordinaria. Es una forma alternativa de ejercer el poder, de un poder que es distribuido, que tiene una normativa, pero que es una normativa flexible, donde juega un papel fundamental la libertad, la comunicación y muy particularmente la posibilidad de un autogobierno que es alternativo a los gobiernos políticamente elegidos. Creo que es digno de estudio el fenómeno de la Internet y las posibilidades que nos ofrece. Yo dirijo en este momento una institución que ha sido creada por un grupo de empresarios costarricenses muy visionarios que han querido poner en marcha desde el sector privado un proyecto país que busca articular las posiciones tanto de la academia como del sector privado, como de las ONGs y del gobierno, buscando, mirando al futuro, para garantizar mayores niveles de prosperidad, de gobernanza y calidad de vida para los costarricenses. Me parece que tiene muchas semejanzas con ICANN. Cuando vemos que ICANN es una alianza sin fines de lucro de gente de todo el mundo que busca mantener segura, estable e interoperable la red, nosotros también buscamos mantener el país seguro, estable y ciertamente interoperable a través de la existencia de vínculos entre los sectores que en nuestro país y en muchos países del mundo trabajan de manera bastante desarticulada y con relacionamientos no tan productivos como podrían existir. El segundo objetivo de ICANN es promover la competencia y desarrollar políticas sobre Internet y sus identificadores. En nuestro caso, también pensamos que la competencia es un elemento fundamental, pero que tiene que estar asociado, como sin duda lo ve ICANN, a un incremento muy importante en la productividad y a un incremento muy importante en el aprovechamiento de la ciencia, la tecnología y la innovación. Y estos son temas fundamentales del desarrollo contemporáneo. Para los países en vías de desarrollo, esto no es discurso, esto es el futuro que será o que no será. Entonces, el abrir un espacio como el que se ha abierto en el contexto del ENPOC me parece a mí histórico y fundamental. ¿Por qué? Porque las organizaciones sin fines de lucro son una nueva forma, una nueva fuerza económica y social. No son simplemente ya activistas que defienden ciertas ideas en ciertos nichos. Las ONGs han crecido enormemente, son organizaciones que generan conocimiento y muy particularmente, que es un tema fundamental de la Internet, que aprovechan lo que hoy se conoce como el surplus cognitivo, es decir, ese excedente de conocimiento que solemos tener los seres humanos y que ponemos al servicio del desarrollo, ya sea en los núcleos específicos de nuestros países o en los núcleos de la Internet. El potencial de la tecnología y la fascinación que tiene la Internet y la tecnología en general para todos nosotros que estamos interesados en el desarrollo humano y en la prosperidad es precisamente la posibilidad de levantar sectores completos de la población de nuestros países y llevarlos a un punto de participación en el desarrollo económico, en el emprendimiento y en la calidad de vida. Por eso, las ONGs podemos decir que son organizaciones que articulan visiones, perspectivas, voluntades, buscan soluciones y hacen propuestas, sistematizan, producen y comparten conocimiento que luego, sin duda, es distribuido a través de la red. Es importante ver también que las ONGs tienen características fundamentales en su desarrollo que nos llevan a explorar también ámbitos de gobernabilidad, de prosperidad y de desarrollo de capacidades, como decíamos anteriormente. Son organizaciones que ahora proveen en muchos países ciertos servicios públicos que enriquecen y mejoran la toma de decisiones y que son promotoras de proyectos transformadores. No son simplemente, como dijimos antes, activadores políticos. Tienen una extraordinaria capacidad perceptiva, es decir, identifican necesidades sociales y económicas emergentes, pero también identifican oportunidades de emprendimiento, de desarrollo y de negocio. Ya las ONGs no están suscritas únicamente al sector social, trabajan también, como es el caso de la organización que yo represento, en el sector económico, en relación con el sector público y en relación con el sector académico. Tienen una particularidad muy importante, que además lo potencia extraordinariamente la Internet, que es una enorme capacidad de reacción rápida para responder a problemas o a oportunidades con gran flexibilidad y con gran agilidad. Son multidimensionales y multisectoriales y además logran una cantidad muy importante de colaboración que hoy llamamos pro bono o trabajo voluntario no remunerado, es decir, sin costo. Pienso que el aporte que puede hacer la creación del NPOC al desarrollo de estas organizaciones es muy importante. Emerge un nuevo liderazgo a través de estas organizaciones dentro de ICANN y dentro de la Internet. Pero también considero que ICANN se beneficiará enormemente del aporte de estas organizaciones que traen a la mesa una visión distinta, una visión que es complementaria y que permite trabajar con lo público, lo empresarial, lo comercial y lo no comercial, además de lo académico. Yo quisiera felicitar a ICANN por esta iniciativa y creo que al igual que los que estamos aquí, nos ponemos a las órdenes para poder apoyar, impulsar este nuevo trabajo que es esencial no solamente para el mundo en desarrollo, sino para el mundo como un todo. Muchas gracias.
Muchas gracias a Clotilde Fonseca por su excelente exposición. Tenemos ahora a Eduardo Monge. Eduardo Monge is currently the Fundación Omar Sdengo Project Development and International Relations Officer. He's been a member of the International Advisory Board of the International Institute for Communication and Development, and he has also served as chair of the membership committee of the Global Knowledge Partnership. He's an economist from Universidad Costa Rica, and he a PhD from the Department of Economics of Southern Illinois University. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm going to deviate a little bit from the previous presentations. I'm going to speak in English. I had prepared some remarks in English, and I only have about 3 minutes to go over them. And as a benefit for the English-speaking participants of this session, but also I will refer some words in Spanish for the local NGOs that were invited to this
Thank you for your interest in Goodwill Industries International. Generates opportunities for people.
The Omar Sdengo Foundation of Costa Rica, it's a private, non-for-profit, non-governmental organization that develops and executes national and regional projects in the fields of human development, educational innovation, and digital technologies. This is the organization that I represent here, and it's the member of NPOC in Costa Rica. The foundation strives to improve the quality and equity of learning opportunities for people in an effort to harness their development to innovative educational proposals and models focused on people and the use of digital technologies. The foundation is responsible for the introduction of digital technologies and the use of internet for educational purposes in Costa Rican public schools. Its National Program of Educational Informatics, jointly executed with the Costa Rica's Ministry of Public Education, currently serves more than 470,000 elementary and high school students nationwide in 1,165 public schools in the nation. The program this year will increase its coverage to close to a total of 530,000 students and more than 1,700 schools through educational programs that use portable computers and intensive use of the Internet. The Omar Dengo Foundation's program rely on the Internet and on domain name services, policies that provide valuable services to its individual beneficiaries and users' communities. Our beneficiaries are children, youth from Costa Rican public schools, their teachers, their families, disabled and disadvantaged children and youth, micro and small micro entrepreneurs, senior citizens, educators, and the public at large. And all expect that the foundation's educational services using the Internet be secure, stable, and reliable. Without the work of ICANN and its community, this task will be difficult to accomplish. The foundation is the first member of the non-for-profit operational concerns constituency, MPOC, here in Costa Rica. We expect many more local NGOs to join us. We expect many more local NGOs from other countries in Latin America to join this constituency. Speaking on behalf of the Omar Dengo Foundation, I can say that we believe that MPOC can represent the operational interests of non-for-profit and non-governmental organizations similar to the Omar Dengo Foundation. We think that MPOC shall be able to channel the real-world perspective on how DNS policies affect the operational readiness of NGOs, and by doing it, this growing constituency will bring a new commercial voice and memberships and members into the non-commercial stakeholders groups, what we call the NCSG. The road to growing participation and, most important, representation on non-for-profit and non-governmental organizations in ICANN is through MPOC. The Omar Dengo Foundation welcomes the MPOC members in the room and the prospective MPOC members that are attending this session. And we encourage you to learn more about MPOC and become a member of this constituency. Thank you.
Gracias, Eduardo. Ahora seguimos con Alain Béranger. Es un representante para Norteamérica de la Fundación Chasquinet de Ecuador. También es trustee en el Global Knowledge Partnership Foundation. Vice Chair en el NPOC. Como ingeniero, administrador y su carrera profesional ha sido amplia, se ha centrado en el desarrollo internacional como ejecutivo de los sectores privados y públicos, como consultor para agencias internacionales para el desarrollo, ha sido cónsul honorario en Santo Tomé y Príncipe de Canadá, ha trabajado en 31 países africanos diferentes. Ha conducido misiones en 10 países asiáticos y 8 países en América Latina y el Caribe. También ha sido director de asociaciones y desarrollo de negocios para el Centro Internacional de Investigaciones para el Desarrollo, IDRC, y actualmente dedica su tiempo trabajando pro bono para organizaciones sin fines de lucro y consultorías para organizaciones internacionales y el sector privado. Muchas gracias.
Thank you very much, Christina. I must be very old. I've really appreciated the presentations up to now, and I'm going to try to be a transducer. Between engineers, we really like to use that metaphor, but I had never heard it in relation to the multi-stakeholders process as well as a political process. My presentation today is not about substance, but about housekeeping. See, once a year, and this is the first time, NPOC actually comes together at an ICANN meeting. So we really are the baby constituency of ICANN. And I have felt compelled to get involved. Debbie was instrumental in convincing me to get involved. And it was very, very important for the American NGOs to lead the creation of NPOC. And then I quickly realized that it was very, very important for the same institutions to bring in the millions or some of the millions of NGOs around the world. So, of course, in most countries we have a legal environment where NGOs can thrive. But there's tens and tens and tens of countries where NGOs are seen as enemies of the politicians. I'm wondering sometimes if that's not starting to happen in my country, but that's another subject. So we embarked on a process to say seeing that there's not enough representation from the developing economy, those NGOs that are spied on by government, that are sometimes their monies is stolen. They are often subject of violence. There are some people in this room that have been subjected to that. And it is important that their voice be heard in ICANN, and that's what we're doing. So this is now my housekeeping report, and I'm very, very pleased to say that we recruited over the last half a year 13 new members. And they come from Bangladesh, India, Colombia, Ecuador, Costa Rica, the Netherlands, Switzerland, the Gambia, Peru, and Pakistan. And many more are awaiting approval and currently applying. I suspect just through the holding of the event in Costa Rica that we will probably receive 10 to 12 membership applications from Costa Rica. And I say bravo. Costa Rica likes to lead, and that's how we like it. The strength of the Internet, we didn't realize it when we very modestly attempted to do a first webinar in December. It was masterminded by Klaus Stahl, who is to my right here. And we realized that although the Internet is available, the rules of promotion and communication prevail. Kathy, you would know about that. And we were very, very surprised when we had over 250 participants at the first webinar that we organized. So there was a thirst to find out what ICANN was. It was really ICANN 101. We had help from the NCUC, Avery Doria, and we had help from Debbie, and also from one of our sponsors, Pure.org. The only reason we are able to be here is because we have been supported by Pure.org and by the Global Knowledge Partnership and by Fundación Omar Dengo, and I thank them warmly for taking a bet on us. So as someone that has fundraised in my life before, I don't think I've ever been more proud than to raise the first $5,000 for NPOC as we come to here. So there is this showed that a brand new constituency can draw in new audiences and in significant numbers. We try to participate in the San Francisco meeting. Travel was provided by the Global Knowledge Partnership Foundation. We have membership application forms available in Spanish, English, and French on that website, www.puntoenpoc.org. And I wanted to let you know that we are going to transit that website to a Ning-based technology, which will be much more friendly to social media thinking, as well as automatic feeding of news, and also Web 2.0 participation by the members. So, in fact, this technology is increasing democracy from the base, and we want to be there. We were able to have 8 to 9, the number went up from the time I wrote this, 8 to 9 members of NPOC that came to Costa Rica without funding from ICANN. Not that we expect I can to fund us. But many of the people that are come to ICANN are funded for legitimate reasons. As a baby constituency, we have to be entrepreneurial and elbow our way into an organization that's established so quickly as ICANN. We participated in the ICANN Joint Supporting Organization and Advisory Committee on new GTLDs applicants. So this working group came up with financial and non-financial support recommendations for worthy applicants in developing economies with insufficient financing or in need of expert technical assistance. We are currently participating in the inter-register transfer policy, but it's really a process. I, as a newcomer to ICANN, participating in this working group is really a quick way of going up the learning curve. And even though that's a longer process, we try to be a good early administrator and respond to ICANN requests for documents. I want to acknowledge Glenn de Saint-Géry, who is really bearing with us as the dummies, and she's making us learn fast, but we don't have an easy way in. We have to do it the way everybody else does it. I told you about the fundraising. We have the luck of having a strategic partnership with the Global Knowledge Partnership Foundation, which is in itself a multi-stakeholder process partnership, but where NGOs are in majority. About 85% of the members of the Global Knowledge Partnership are NGO. We have about 10% governmental or intergovernmental, and we have about 5% private sector. So that commonality of audiences will allow us to build some win-win and leverages. And I'm also pleased to report that we had 12 Costa Rican NGOs, at least that we know of, that have registered to the ICANN meeting through the good work of NPOC's top member in Costa Rica, the Fundación Omar Dengo. So maybe if you allow me to tell you about our plans. This is what management evaluators call the results. I want to tell you what we plan to do for the next year. We actually, I'm speaking to you as a non-elected member. We're just interim in carrying the work of managing or administrating NPOC. But we have elections going on, and hopefully by the 19th of March, we will have a full slate of properly elected officers for this new constituency. Our plan is to grow our membership to all, or continue to grow our membership to all developing and emerging regions of the world. We have friends from Barbados here in Nigeria, and we've barely started talking. They may not find NPOC, depending on your charters, the best place to enter ICANN, but that's not a problem. We appreciate this early friendship. We'd like to add mostly small NGOs, not for profits, not that we won't accept larger ones. So our plan is to grow by four new numbers per quarter, and that would represent almost a double of our current and pending membership numbers by July 2013. The financial year is mid-year to mid-year. We intend to hold seven meetings over a 12-month period, so that's a lot of work. They will be mostly web-based. Three or four will be on the use of ICTs for development, and three of them we'll try to hold in parallel to ICANN events. Some will be education, some will be plainly recruiting, and others will be policy advocacy, and we would like to touch a new audience of 175 NGOs and by July 2013 that way. Most important because ICANN is an expert, is also an expert environment, and it would be really nice if, and that is our objective, to see two or three DNS, domain name system experts, be added to the roster of experts that are active in ICANN coming from our NGO community. And finally, it will be important for us to go on to develop some robust strategic partnerships to continue increasing the global reach of NPOC and to ensure its financial sustainability. So financial sustainability not as an objective, but as a means. So thank you for letting me do housekeeping. It was a must do, and I thank you for your patience.
Gracias, Alain. Thank you. Merci beaucoup. We have now a 10-15 minute session for questions. Vamos a tener unos 10 minutos para preguntas, ya sea de los participantes aquí presentes o que nos acompañan vía remota. Entonces, si quisieran hacer su pregunta y a quién va dirigida,
questions?
Yes, please.
What is the requirement for membership or signing up to NPOC? What is the requirement? Just registration?
Yeah, good question. The membership, the requirements is to be a true not-for-profit institution. And we actually require our applicants to submit a copy of their national documentation that establishes beyond any doubt that they are a registered not-for-profit in their country. Each country does it differently. The second requirement, and these are the second requirement, is to operate a domain name. We are looking at this requirement, but right now we have to play in the non-commercial stakeholders group sandbox, and that is a requirement. So even if we approved right now, we have approved a member. NPOC would like to approve a member in Somalia, because Somalia is a country where many areas are in distress, and it's nice to see a leader coming forward trying to get involved, but he's operating out of Yahoo or Google, and waiting for his domain name in somewhere in the middle of the steppe in Somalia, and we weren't able to approve him. He can't, if he's not approved, he can't vote. But he is desperate to work with us and bring a further multicultural input into it. So we are contemplating individual memberships, but this we don't really know how to do that. We know others do it. We're not even sure NPOC is the right place for individual membership, but we realize that some individuals may want to work with us. So please bear with us on that one. I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, and then you mentioned that later on in this month, you will have a fully constituted executive. What is the process there? How do you? Because I imagine that your members come from a lot of different countries. Are you having a meeting to deal with that? Will it be a webinar or a meeting like this?
Very good question. Well, first of all, we couldn't do that without the ICANN Secretariat, the GNSO Secretariat, which is run by Glenn, and she is our electoral agent. For elections, you're not obliged to use ICANN as an electoral agent, but it was overwhelming for us to try to do it on our own. The rules were that there is 40 institutions voting around the world at this time for a slate. We have only one position where there's two candidates, and but they come from all over the world, and the elections is going on now and is being completed on the 19th of March. Did I respond to all the parts of your question? Okay.
¿Alguna otra pregunta? Debbie.
Hi, this is Debbie from American Red Cross. My only question was for our English-speaking friends, both on the phone and here. I was wondering if the speakers could just give maybe one or two highlights from what they said in their presentation, if they're able, so that those of us who don't speak Spanish,
habla español, I was thinking of doing that on the closure.
I'm sorry.
I was thinking of doing that on the closure.
Okay, thank you very much. It's been a question.
Thank you. Thank you, Debbie.
Klaus, please.
Thank you very much, Klaus Stoll, NPOC, but also Global Knowledge Partnership Foundation. I've got an observation and a question to the participants. The observation I have is that I think the participation of NGOs in the internet governance is getting more and more important from day to day, because we rely in everything we do more and more on the internet, and if you are not in the internet governments and you don't have a voice, it's getting more and more complicated. So that's why we have NPOC. But I think in the election we are talking about, which are finishing on the 19th, I'm under the membership secretariat, and I really put myself willingly under that cross of trying to get members in, out of the simple reason because I'm even put one step much further in front of the membership, which is the outreach and information. We need educate, outreach, and inform the NGOs in the world about what's going on. And that is, I think, the first challenge. And then from that batch of people, maybe 10,000 NGOs we can reach, there will be a number of NGOs who say this is really worthwhile for us to get involved, whilst other NGOs are just simply not in that field of interest of internet governance. And when we got these 10%, 5% or whatever inside the ICANN or in NPOC, we need to train them further up the ladder of participation, because it's wonderful when we are sitting here. I think it's my 16th or so ICANN meeting. I still have no clue sometimes about the abbreviations and things like that. And we have to be honest ourselves and say, I mean, half of ICANN nobody will ever understand. And I don't think there's a single person who really understands everything which is going on here. And I think we've got a wonderful, wonderful configuration going on, which is, for me, unique. And I think it's a huge, huge chance. Number one, we've got NPOC. Number two, we've got the support of ICANN. Number three, we've got new registrar and GDLDs coming in. We've got organizations like GKPF, which I happen to be the executive director, which represents thousands of networks of foundations and things like that. We've got all the players now in one room. Now the part is to get them all together. And then, for example, the specific part here for Costa Rica is how can we reach the foundations, and that's a question maybe directly to the panel, to Omar Dengo, how can we first inform, reach, and educate the foundations in Costa Rica? How can we identify the leaders, and how can we train them up further? Because, okay, the circus will go out of town next week, but we have to leave something back, and I think it's better than sawdust in the on the soil. Thank you very much. Sorry for about that long one.
Thank you, Klaus. Would anyone care to answer Klaus' concern?
Well, Klaus, I think it's this is one of the first steps that NPOC is taking with the webinar in December and this activity here during the ICANN meeting It's an opportunity for NGOs to get to know the ICANN language, the ICANN concerns, the ICANN topics. And as you said, there will be many NGOs that are really in tune with the internet governance issues, and they will see MPOC as their way, their channel to get their voice out and to be represented in the internet governance deliberations. For other NGOs, they would understand that this is important for them, but they would need some introduction to ICANN and some educational sessions where ICANN is explained to them, and they do use the internet, and they need to care about these issues. So it's a two-step process, you know, getting those that are fully ready to sign up and to be represented by MPOC and to get their voice out right away, and the other group of other NGOs here in Costa Rica and in many of the other Latin American countries and some of the other regions that would need information about ICANN, that they can get it through different constituencies, and they need to understand that MPOC is that constituency that it's more closer to their needs.
Thank you, Eduardo. We have no more time for questions, so we would like to conclude. I don't know if anyone has a closing statement, or if not, I would wrap up the session. So for the broad audience, I'm going to say this in English. I think one fact that I'm sure we all agree on is that the internet has been such a disruptive tool. And I say this in a positive way. For this to continue, it is important to incentivize everyone to have a voice. And in this regard is that NPOC represents a space for nonprofit organizations to be heard and to express their criteria. Now, how to protect the independence and neutrality and diversity the speakers were expressing about. So I think in this sense, we have to consider these three fundamental aspects that were discussed here, which were this governance to be constructed bottom-up, consensus-driven, and multi-stakeholder. Thank you.
If I may, just ask a question here.
Sure, go ahead.
There are several issues that I would really like to put on the table with respect to nonprofit organizations. When is the next opportunity that we could discuss some of the issues?
Please go. We have the room, so we can continue with this. You can
talk here. Also, there is a mailing list.
Yes.
Voice
for it.
Where you really can put. Sorry, we still have a few minutes time. Of course, we can talk these things about in private. And secondly, there is a mailing list called NPOC Voice where you really can put these things. An open discussion with everybody, but of course, face to face is preferable. And I just want to give a very quick response to Eduardo, what you said. Just one observation: it's a very simple mechanism. If ICANN goes to a foundation or to an NGO and says, "Look, we would like to outreach to you." You know what happens? A lot of people don't even know what ICANN is. I think what we need to do is to go through intermediary organizations like Omar Dengo, GKPF Network, and things like that, which the organizations or the foundations know, and basically play the intermediary or the person who's introducing. That might be just an observation to what you said.
I have been told there's no other meeting in this room, so If you have any specific questions for Alain, he'd be happy to answer. Or anyone else.
Anybody else.
You know, and it's stated and generally accepted that NGOs are developmental organizations. I think we must place some emphasis on empowering organizations and not seeing them like businesses or anything like that. In countries like Barbados, maybe even Somalia, as he was suggesting, I think there must be some support linked to these organizations in order to bring them on board. Otherwise, they may never get on board. And you have to ask yourself, what is the mission? What is the mission here? If the mission is to bring developmental organizations into a pool so that they can make their representation, it wouldn't be right, especially in places like Somalia, parts of Africa, parts of the Caribbean, where you just have people who are into the problems themselves, people who are poor themselves, are actually the people who are getting up and trying to do these organizations in order to improve their lot and the lot of the people around them. They will never have a domain name. In Barbados, for example, we have a constituency of about 1,200 NGOs, and out of 1,200 NGOs, only about 5 got domain names. So I like the idea of the intermediary. For example, Bangor, which is my organization, is a national organization, and all the organizations in Barbados come under Bangor. So it's easy for me to get membership. But if membership has a criteria that says you must have a domain name, it also means that we must be able to position ourselves to allow the organizations to get the domain name. So can we have, say, a country, a block, that we can use to give out domain names to bona fide organizations? And indeed, the internet is really the place that we do a lot of business. I mean, can't survive without it. And these organizations with Yahoo addresses and Gmail addresses and no website, they can't tell people what's going on. They can't promote themselves, again, find sponsorship and stuff like that. I mean, you know, I think these are situations that if we are talking about nonprofit and we truly want to be nonprofit, I think these are situations that we must consider and we must put some case, some representation within ICANN for nonprofit organizations at that level.
Alain is going to answer the first part of the question and then we give to Debbie.
Yes, Roosevelt, what I would say to the first part of your question, I think you can start at the beginning, which means Bangor would apply to become a member of NPOC.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
All right. And right now for the support, there's a window of opportunity where there's not going to be any membership fees to join NPOC. So that's the first thing. And also, there is something changing in ICANN, is that constituencies are going to be receiving, constituencies and stakeholder groups are going to be receiving, I believe it's for the first time, some financial operational support starting in the next financial year. And of course, that's going to benefit the members of those constituencies. As to your other question, I think I'll defer to my leadership.
Deborah Hugh from International Red Cross.
Hi. So your point is well taken, and it's one that has been a concern of mine. You understand the rules that we must follow were established before this constituency was created. So when I joined this initiative in 2009, the requirements for participation were curious to me. I didn't quite understand, even though the stakeholder group said that they had nonprofit and NGOs represented, a lot of the criteria, for example, what's a non-commercial actor, what are the requirements, did not make sense to me. And so again, a voice of one is very difficult to effectuate change. Now that we are established, there's no reason why, if this constituency thinks it's important to take a look at those criteria, that we do so in a way that makes sense. This is a great opportunity for all of us to educate the stakeholder group that may not be aware of the issues like those that I've just mentioned. I mean, there's others, you know, I won't take up all the time, but there are opportunities for this group to have our voice heard in a very, very constructive way, I believe.
Please.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Tokboy Fash. I am attending ICANN as a representative of NERA. NERA is actually a CCTLD for Nigeria. Now I'm here just by accident because I met the vice chair earlier on, I think on the first day of the meeting, and I thought it was something interesting to be part of. But having looked at the website and some of the documents, I see that it is even in the name, it says not for profit. But I can understand that from the historical perspective and how this came about, it came about mainly from the NGO aspect. And in the discussions and some of the speeches that have been given, I see there's easily difference to mention in NGO, NGO, NGO. So which started making me feel like I'm in the wrong place. Okay. While, you know, the organization that I'm representing at this ICANN meeting is a not-for-profit organization, we do have members that are individuals, we have members that are NGOs, and we have members that are not-for-profit as well. So I had to take time to look at the document again to be sure that I think we do belong here as well. So I'm just trying to put that out there so that I can understand that it's a baby constituency, as you've mentioned, so that, you know, as it develops gradually, people put this in mind and hopefully do not alienate people who may want to come in. Thank you.
Thank you. This is important. Alain Béranger is going to.
Tope, thank you very much for that. Actually, this is an excellent topic, and this is an issue that's not resolved right now. Because I look at some of our pending applications. If I look at Global Knowledge Partnership, if I look at NIRA, and I don't know if you have for-profit, but I know the structure of GKP. 85% NGO are across the world, so that's good stuff for ICANN. 10% intergovernmental, or quasi-governmental organization, but that are operating at arm's length from the government, and then finally 4 or 5 private sector companies, like Microsoft. Is Microsoft Community Affairs is a member of Global Knowledge Partnership. So if Global Knowledge Partnership, which has a huge global NGO reach, applies for membership in NPOC, and if there is a sharp interpretation or a disciplined interpretation of the criteria, and based on past experience, it will be refused, and it does not make sense. I've looked at the membership of when I first met you, Tiba. I looked at your membership. You are itself a not-for-profit organization. You have a domain name system, and I don't know who has the biggest share in your membership, but that will be an issue. So I think we're going to ask the stakeholders group and others in ICANN that we need to resolve this issue. There are also issues of defining a not-for-profit organization. And believe it or not, we have some of the decision makers right now in a stakeholders group who interpret sponsorship. Would you believe this? I know around the table here that we wouldn't be able to deliver on a social mission if we didn't have sponsorship. And, you know, it has no resonation. I have done this for 40 years of my life. I got, believe it or not, I didn't believe it. Microsoft handed over my intergovernmental organization a $9 million check, but they by their sheer existence, presence in GKP, would stop us to collaborate for GKP. So it doesn't make sense, and we're going to have to look into this. So yes, I believe, Tope, that your organization as not-for-profit absolutely belongs here. Besides, you don't have to belong to only one constituency. I think you can belong to two. Therefore, we're going to have to address this issue. But as we are powerless right now, if we put it to vote, we get outvoted. If we put it to challenge us to be voted, we get outvoted. So I believe that there is a governance structure design fault, and it may not have been a fault when it was operated 4 or 5 years ago. So we all have to reinvent ourselves, our organization. I think I know the Cruza Foundation reinvents itself, GKP reinvents itself. We all have to do that to stay relevant. And I think ICANN does that very well. And I think we have the attention of our stakeholders group and of the council and the board about this issue. So don't give up on becoming a member. We'll work with you and for you. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.